Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and fastball. Alvarez it toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Fantasy Baseball Today, I am Chris Welsh, Adam Azer, Scott White. We're in the house and the dark night rises. Yes, Matt Harvey signing in Oakland, just like the end of the Batman series. Who cares? Gentlemen, how are you today? Have you both seen the entire Christopher Nolan Batman series?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I just have to gauge. I don't fully know the pop culture, like where it all reaches on this show. I throw out that I think is a gimme.
Sure.
And it's a complete flop. So I just.
No, I am. I celebrate Christopher Nolan's entire catalog. He is. Yeah. He's the Mike. What were those guys on Office Space? What were their names? They both had the same name.
Michael Bolton.
No, the consultants.
That's how they felt about Michael
Bolton. Oh, Bob and Bob.
Yeah,
Bob. Yeah, the Bobs. The Christopher Nolan is the Michael Bolton for me.
I like it. Well, you're Scott White. I'm the Chris here. You're the Scott, and I'll get to play the Christopher Nolan. Hey, guys, Fernando Tatis Jr., he's going to be placed on the 10-day IL on Thursday. We thought we were going to get away. I kind of thought we were going to get away okay. But now he's going to go on the 10-day IL with Fernando Tatis Jr. Replacements, what do we think? Luis Urias, the guy who's probably going to replace him an option, or are we going deeper?
Oh, yeah. No, there are two Luises. Luis Urias, who you mentioned, who is hitting very well. Well, he's walking a lot and showing some good signs after really an abysmal start to his major league career. But Luis Urias, 35% owned. And is he even shortstop eligible right now, Scott?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't believe so. So, you know, maybe as a middle infield option. Though that might be, like, the thing is we keep talking about how much depth there is at shortstop, especially, and we keep having to turn away these good hitters. But it's funny, like between 75% owned in CBS leagues and 50% owned, there's three players: Ahmed Rosario, David Fletcher, and Jurickson Profar. Profar is obviously not going to cut it. Asdrubal Cabrera has been hot since joining the Nationals. He's been their primary second baseman, so he might not be such a bad choice.
I didn't get to say my other Luis, though, Scott.
Oh, your other Luis. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Luis Arraez of the Minnesota Twins, particularly in a points league. He entered today. I don't think he started today. Luis Arraez has 23 walks to 14 strikeouts.
Mm.
Not hitting a ton, only two homers in 180 at-bats. But he's been pretty good lately. But, yeah, I mean, I think these are lower-end guys for sure. I think Josh Van Meter's still pretty interesting at 26%. You just got to check their lefties on the schedule.
Yeah, playing the matchups with him.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I like it.
Is there one guy, Scott? For me, it's...
Not anybody I'm in love with.
Rosario.
I mean, I think Nick Ahmed's kind of underrated. I think Eric Sogard's good when he plays, but that's only like 2/3 of the time. I think a lot of people are in a situation where they have two good shortstops because of the depth at that position, and they could probably just go that route and, you know, find some other generic hitter to fill in. Hopefully that's the case.
Gentlemen, I was informed that on Thursdays we do not do a worryometer. Mm-hmm. That is not what we do. We do a thurryometer.
That's right. When you're worried on Thursday, you're thurried.
We are going to thurry it real quick because a couple pitchers, they got lit up. Trevor Bauer being one of them, lit up for 9 runs in 4 1/3 inning. Bauer's 1-1 with a 7.37 ERA and 3 starts for his brand new Reds team. His season ERA has now climbed over 4. It's at 4.13 for the first time all year. Cole Hamels also lit up for 8 earned runs in 2 innings. He had 2 walks and 2 strikeouts. Steven Strasburg, not necessarily lit up, 5 2/3, 7 hits, walked 3, struck out 4, but gave up 4 earned runs. Thurryometer on Trevor Bauer. Let's start with you, Mr. Azer.
Hmm. Whew. 7. 7 were a thurryometer on back. Look, man, like, how long? How long before I'm just going to be like, yeah, he's not going to be the pitcher I want him to be?
Just said for the first time all year his ERA is over 4.
So what? I want him to be ERA around 3.
I feel like we've been throwing about him all year for because no good reason.
No, there's very good reason. He has a 125 whip. He can't throw strikes. He's all over the place. He walks too many batters, and he gives up too many home runs. I mean, I pretty much come to accept now that Trevor Bauer is not going to be the guy that I want him to be.
You got to lower your standards. It's 2019.
Not
how
for
many
Bauer.
Times we talked about
not
this?
For a like, guy that I took. Not for a guy that I took with hopes that he'd win the Cy Young.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been.
He's been bad. He's not a top 20 pitcher anymore.
Easily not a top 20.
What? He entered the game 16th in points, 18th in roto. I can
not
almost
easily. He's probably just dropped a little outside of that.
I can almost guarantee you that by the next time he makes his turn, 5 days from now, he won't be a top 20 pitcher.
Mm-hmm. What's the number, Scott?
Like, for I don't God's know. Sake. Two? I not high. I mean, his last start was just one run and seven three-hit innings with 11 strikeouts.
Yeah.
The one before that wasn't good. And I'll admit, on the frustration-o-meter, it's probably about a 10. But, like, am I actually worried? No.
Okay. Well, you both are incorrect with your 7-2. For Trevor Bauer, it's a 6.9. That would be the only correct answer on the thermometer for Mr. Trevor Bauer.
That's just true. You know,
we're doing it right here. Favorite. Cole Hamels, Scott White, thermometer.
Oh, for Cole Hamels. I will say a 5 for Cole Hamels.
Better ERA than Bauer, by the way.
Yeah. Not as good the skill indicators, but very they've true. Been pretty good. I mean, they've been two really bad starts in a row. Is the only reason it's a 5 as opposed to like a 2 or a 3. I mean, he's given up 17 hits in like 5 innings his last 2 starts. That's a problem. But I mean, there's other than just the result, I don't feel like I have a lot to react to. And, you know, results, as we've seen, are not reliable, especially in the year of the offensive explosion like we've seen this year.
AAA analyst Adam Azer, what do you think?
AAA analyst. What is... Oh, Adam Azer analyst.
Analyst Adam Azer,
yeah,
AAA.
Yeah, that's actually... It sounds like such an insult. I would like... AAA analyst. I would like to see the velocity. I think it might be down a little bit for Cole Hamels. Maybe Scott can check on that. I was watching a little bit of his start, and he was more like 90-91, it seemed, where he should be more like 91-92. So I don't know. He's coming off the IL. His first start off the IL was good. His second two now have been, or his second and third have been bad. Yeah, I'd say a 5 on Hamels, I guess, but I mostly trust him to rebound. There have been times, too many times we've counted him out, and he's been able to rebound.
The Steven Strasburg one's a little odd. He's just a little bit of an oddity. Adam, I mean, is there enough for him to be a bigger worry than Cole Hamels? Are you more worried about Strasburg,
no.
Even though it's been, I don't know, it's been a solid season?
No, I'm not worried. I just think it's a little interesting that his ER, oh my gosh, Seth Lugo just destroyed my ratios as this game is in progress. He's given up 5 earned runs in a third of an inning. Scott must be happy it's a Braves game. No, I'm not worried about Strasburg. I just think it's interesting that he's had such a good year, and yet he has like a 380 or something ERA. Q Scott saying you have to adjust your standards. ERAs are higher. I get it.
Yeah. Other than Justin Verlander, there has been a stretch where we have worried about every single pitcher.
What?
Because he's flirted with a 4 ERA at some point.
Yeah, but you're forgetting we did worry about Justin Verlander. He had that home run stretch, right?
Yeah, it was never enough to like really mess up his season line. I wasn't that worried. Was anybody really that worried?
No.
I don't think so. Did we give numbers? Do we have any numbers?
Scott? 0 for Strasburg.
Yeah. 0's fine with me. I tend not to worry about these things.
Let me throw it to you guys as far as standouts. Scott White, do you have any standouts that you would like to point out before we move forward from this beautiful Wednesday night slate of games?
Well, while I stall to pick out a name, I will point out that Cole Hamels' velocity was down a little in this start, his third start back from the IL, and looking at the previous start, there wasn't an issue last time out, really just this start. I'm not sure that really means anything. Stand
I want to give you credit, though. That was a professional stall job, though. That was very professional. I like
well,
that.
Other than the fact that I announced it was happening, that wasn't great.
Transparency.
Yeah, so standout. I am going to say Homer Bailey stood out with 7 2-hit innings, 7 strikeouts. That's 4 of 6 quality starts now with the A's, which, you know, maybe it has to do with their home venue as much as anything, but they've kind of had a tendency to take these kind of like nothing veterans and turn them into something halfway useful over the past several years, it seems like. I'm not sure that's really going on here. The 2 non-quality starts Homer Bailey's had with them, 16 earned runs in 6 2/3 innings. So it's very, very hit or miss. And given his recent track record, you know, the misses stand out more than the hits. But it was a good start.
Mr. Adam Azer, I know you have a standout, possibly 2, but who are we brought to by today?
Oh, we have 2 sponsors today. We have SeatGeek. And I've been all over the SeatGeek app looking for football tickets. I keep mentioning that, but it is true. Promo code's FANTASY, $10 off your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and use the code FANTASY. We also have ZipRecruiter if you're looking to do some hiring. You need someone for a job at your company or wherever you are. Use ZipRecruiter.com/strike. You can try it for free. They'll go out and basically find great candidates for you. They'll sort through all the resumes. They'll do all the work for you. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. You're going to hear about those 2 later on.
What about standouts for you?
Yeah, so Kyle Gibson is not a huge standout. He gave up 3 runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, but you might be sitting there going, what do I do with Kyle Gibson? 4.28 ERA now. His previous start was terrible. This start was at Milwaukee. His previous start was against Cleveland, and what I've more or less realized about Kyle Gibson is I think he's pretty much a matchups guy, and he's got 2 awesome matchups next week with the White Sox and the Tigers. Maybe the White Sox get Moncada back. Eloy, maybe he's heating up a little bit. I don't know. But if you're wondering what you do with Kyle Gibson, do you drop him? Do you sit him? He's got 2 starts next week, and you're starting him. I just think down the stretch, if he faces the Indians again, I don't think he's going to face the Yankees or the Red Sox again. But just keep an eye on like really tough matchups. You might want to sit Gibson. Otherwise, you start him.
Some big notable stuff going on. Clayton Kershaw dominated against the Marlins on Wednesday night. 7 innings, 2 hits, 10 strikeouts. Vintage Clayton Kershaw. Were either one of you? I was a big Kershaw guy coming into this year. Always been a defender of, you know, his stuff was, even though the velocity and whatnot was going down, his stuff has always been dominant when he was out there. It was just injuries that was holding him back. I was a big Clayton Kershaw pusher this year. Were either of you in on Clayton Kershaw for this season?
I was actually pushing pretty hard for him as a bust, calling him a bust. And I was kind of trying to reconfigure my approach to the bust where, you know, I was trying to highlight guys who were really at risk of bottoming out as opposed to just kind of underachieving. And I thought Kershaw was a good candidate for that. But I ended up with a pretty good number of shares in him just because he got hurt and his value, his draft stock plummeted to a point where it's like, all right, I'll, 7th round, I'll take a chance on Clayton Kershaw being good again when he comes back. So it's kind of, you know, even like I don't deserve the success I've had with Clayton Kershaw, but nonetheless, I've reaped the benefits.
But you get it. Adam, were you a Clayton Kershaw guy?
No, not really. When I had him in one league and he started off good, he's gone 6 innings in every start this year. That's incredible. And he's just gotten better as the year has gone on. I had been sort of a sell high on Clayton Kershaw guy. He's given up too many home runs. His velocity isn't good enough. Yeah, it's just I've been wrong about him. Lately, I've been right about him because I stopped worrying. I just accepted the fact that he's awesome. This was a terrific start.
Max Scherzer is ready to return, but is going to have a pitch count initially, which I think that's actually what I was hoping is they weren't going to send him out on any rehab stints and just put him on a pitch count to start early. Aaron Boone said not yet when asked when New York Yankees would limit Domingo Germán's innings. Sean Manaea struck out 10 in a rehab start. That's positive. This one's a brutal blow. I know we want to focus on the season still at hand, but Jameson Taillon is going to have Tommy John surgery. He's going to miss all of next year. Probably going to have some serious limits into 2021. You might not see a right Jameson Taillon until 2022, which is devastating for any keeper league players. I mean, at this point, you know, are you willing to even sit on 2 years of Jameson Taillon, even though we like his stuff? Scott, is he still even a long-term keeper option if you're in a deep keeper and you know you're keeping a majority of the players? You're going to hold on for two more years?
Yeah, I mean, in that setup, and you know, a lot of times we get just the general, I'm in a keeper league, should I keep this guy? And it's like, well, I mean, it depends. Does everybody keep five players in your league, or does everybody keep 15? You know, and in a scenario where there's little roster turnover, he has the potential to be a high-end starting pitcher, and those guys are hard to find. And you don't, I mean, part of the deal of playing in a dynasty league is that you're supposed to behave more like a big league club would. And, you know, the Pirates aren't letting Tyone go because of this injury. They're waiting a year and then getting him back, and you should do the same.
Blake Snell's going to play catch on Wednesday, maybe an early September return for people getting excited about that. Jeff McNeil's going on the IL with a left hamstring injury for the second time this season. That one's pretty brutal. I've got this one for you guys. I'm just immensely infatuated right now. Rafael Devers is hot. 6-for-6 on Tuesday. He actually had 8 straight hits going between Tuesday and Wednesday. 5-game hitting streak. 4 of the last 5 have been multi-hits. Now, I preface one last time. I know we want to really hit the rest of 2019, but I just had to ask you guys this one. For 2020, Rafael Devers, who has a .325 average, he's got 24 homers, 97 runs, 93 RBIs, and 8 stolen bases, by the way, versus Javier Baez. .288 average, 82 runs, 81 RBIs, 28 homers, and 10 stolen bases. Adam, how about I kick it to you real quick? Devers or Baez?
I will take Devers in a points league, and I will take Baez in a roto league. Baez has pretty much backed it up. He had a slump at some point this year where he was playing hurt, but he's having a really good year again. Devers is amazing. I don't know if he's this good. So I will just say the plate discipline will come into play, and I will cop out and go Devers in a points league, Baez in roto.
I'm going to take Devers in both. I feel like the gap in expected batting average, I'm not talking about the official stat XBA, I'm talking about what I expect from them in batting average. The gap is bigger there now than the gap in expected power production. And advantage Devers.
Alex Spear had an interesting tweet, by the way. He said, Rafael Devers just homered because he did homer in this. He said, this is ridiculous. He's on pace for 94 extra base hits. Only one player has ever had more in his age 22 season. Joe DiMaggio. In 1937, he had 96. That is quite a stat there. But that's not the only stat. Mr. Adam Azer, you had a stat of the day.
Oh, the stat of the day. Yeah, this is great. This is from the Associated Press. When Sean Reed Foley threw to Rangers infielder Isaiah Kiner-Falefa in the second, it marked the first time in baseball history that a pitcher with a hyphenated surname had faced a batter with a hyphenated surname.
Ha ha.
How cool.
That's a pretty fun one.
I'm surprised by that.
Because I've always wondered, like, what happens when the hyphenated names marry and then they have a kid and they want to continue the tradition of hyphenating the names, and then we get these four hyphenated names that are four names long.
So what if they got married? What if Sean Reed Foley and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa got married? What would their last name be? I don't even know.
I mean, how do you even organize that? Do you just pick your favorite of the two names and hyphenate those names?
I think you'd go Reed Kiner-Falefa Foley. I think you'd sandwich, you know, one of the names. One of the hyphenated last. You know, earlier this year we had John Gray versus Sonny Gray, and it was like the first time in years, like decades or something, that we had two colors spelled the same way. Something crazy like that. So I do love this kind of stuff. Let me go back to the news and notes real quick. I just want to update on Sean Manaea because he did strike out 10 in a rehab start. I think he's making one more rehab start, and then he will rejoin the A's. And I did think it was interesting that Aaron Boone is not committing to shutting down Domingo Herman yet, so hopefully you can ride him out through your fantasy postseason. I don't know what they're going to do, but he's their best pitcher. They cannot afford to shut him down right now.
Also interesting if the A's were to bring back Sean Manaea before Jesus Luzardo got his opportunity to come up. I wouldn't have guessed that if I was pinned down. Yeah, quote of the day, the game was televised exclusively on YouTube. Quote, I understand, counsel said. If you have kids, they don't watch TV. They watch YouTube. It makes sense. Dinosaurs watch TV. That was Craig Counsell on the Minnesota-Milwaukee game being only on YouTube. And that, gentlemen, is a fact. because I don't know if my child knows how to change the channel, but he absolutely knows how to subscribe and hit that ding, as all the YouTubers will tell you on YouTube.
Hit that ding? Is that?
Yeah, hit the ding. They're like, yeah, subscribe and hit the ding so you get notified. Hit the notifications. It's a hip thing,
I'm,
Scott.
I'm a dinosaur. How old is your, how old is he? You have two kids?
One does not do that, but one is 7 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And we're on the, what is it? Like the Scherer family and the Chad Wildclay, for anybody that knows any of those people and is now judging me potentially, which you shouldn't. I shouldn't know these things. I brought up Paw Patrol and now I'm bringing up children's YouTube. God help me, please. Let's go to break real quick. Let's see what we got. We'll come back. We've got double dongs, more stuff in progress, news and notes, and a bunch of your emails. So let's hit that break.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Fringy starting pitchers. Let's get a group and see where we're at. Jay Happ, 78% owned. He was 5 innings, struck out 6 against Baltimore. We've got Chris Archer, 78% owned. That's still actually a shocking number to me for whatever reason. Struck out 10 against the Angels. We've got Cal Quantrill, 44% owned. He had a pretty good start. 5 1/3, walked 1, struck out 4. Homer Bailey, 3 quality starts in his last 5. But, you know, he can get bad. And Kobe Allard. Kobe Allard went 5 2/3, struck out 5 against Toronto. So fringy starting pitchers. Scott White, what do you think? Where is your fringiness going?
Look, I know people are tired of me defending Chris Archer, but coming off what was maybe his best 2-start stretch of the season, he then had a 10 strikeout performance. I understand it wasn't a great start, but he was able to redeem something with that not so great start. And since he seems to be getting better results overall since tweaking his arsenal, kind of going back to just emphasizing the four seamer and the slider. This was his third straight start with 15 swinging strikes. He only had 3 of those all season prior. I think the 78% ownership's justified. I'm not saying he's a stud again, but he's perfectly fine. He's the best of these choices, I think, pretty clearly.
Yeah. Well, Archer, 78% owned. He has 2 starts next week, Washington and Cincinnati at home. Washington is just bludgeoning people. They have a really good lineup. So I'm nervous, but I will say this. There is no reason why Jay Happ should be 78% owned.
Yeah.
I mean, that he is and has been one of the most overrated players in fantasy for months now. So I definitely prefer Archer. But then, Scott, you look at Cal Quantrill, who has been great since the All-Star break. He has like a 1-something ERA in 5 starts, 6 appearances since the All-Star break. You talked about Homer Bailey. Allard didn't really do enough, I don't think. But Dylan Peters, another, you know, very good performance for him. But unfortunately, he's at Texas and at Houston next week.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know what to make of Dylan Peters because it's been 3. I'm not sure if all of them were technically starts or if it was there was a bulk relief appearance in there, but 3 really good outings in a row, and that's pretty much across the board really good. A solid strikeout rate, getting some swinging strikes, like not just, you know, having good luck on batted balls, but they look like he genuinely pitched well. He had a 6.50 ERA at AAA, granted PCL, granted juice ball, all of that, but still, 6.50 ERA. He's never really been a standout pitcher in the minor leagues, had some low ERAs at sometimes, but at some points, but not really, you know, not impressive stat lines overall.
You got to adjust your standards. A 650 ERA is great, Scott.
In the PCL, it's great.
You guys said, Adam, you said Hap should not be owned. Would you drop Hap for Quantrill?
I swear I would drop J Hap for just about, no, this is an overreaction. I would drop him for Cal Quantrill, though. Yeah, Cal Quantrill's, well, the strikeouts aren't really there for Quantrill, but they're not there for Hap either. Quantrill's just better, I would say. I would do that. But I would rather have Peters than, I say of all the guys we talked about, I would go Archer 1. Probably Peters too. Scott, agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really endorse Peters because apart from these three starts, I don't feel like there's anything to endorse. But that's kind of, he probably would be second on my list too, just because there's not even that for these other pitchers. I mean, Quantrill's been okay, I guess, but not in a way that's especially believable.
What about Brad Keller?
I'd take a chance on Peters over him.
About Brad Keller at Baltimore and at Cleveland next week.
Yeah, Brad Keller's pretty close to Archer for me. Great ground ball pitcher. And the walk issues he was having early in the year have gone away. Pitches deep into games consistently. He's pretty good, I think, Brad Keller. Not great, but pretty good.
Okay.
You got some double dongs on Wednesday. Bryce Harper hit his 23rd and 24th. You've got Yuli Gurriel. By the way, I was looking. Yuli Gurriel, seeing that 99% owned is, I love seeing that. It actually wasn't something I was expecting when I went to go take a look, just for whatever reason.
You see his start percentage?
What's that?
Start percentage? You see Yuli's start percentage?
Was it 91%?
I think it's like 96. He's basically owned and started everywhere.
I don't know why that came as like a shock. He's been phenomenal, but for whatever reason, it was just stunning when I was looking at that, especially comparative to some of these others. Another thing I like about when you look at the player pages on CBS. Yuli Gurriel hit his 24th and 25th. He had a 314 average coming into the night, and it was his second double dong of the month, by the way. Matt Chapman hit his 26th and 27th. He's on a 5-game hitting streak, but he was hitless the 5 games before that. And prospect Edwin Rios with the Dodgers, they just churn out these mediocre guys that can hit homers. That's at least my opinion. Hit two bombs on there. What do you guys got? Scott, you got any opinions? Matt Chapman maybe on the turnaround. Yuli Gurriel is an absolute beast. Maybe Edwin Rios. Maybe he's turning around and someone you want to own.
Well, I'm not sure the playing time is going to be there for Rios. He's been up. He's been up at times this year and made very few starts. And obviously, the Dodgers have a lot of different pieces they can move there. I just don't know that there's an opportunity for him. And I'm not sure there's much skills beyond he'll hit some home runs to justify it. I do want to mention, since I took the time to look it up, Yuli Gurriel, he first kind of burst onto the scene, I guess, as more than just this fringe guy with a stretch of five games with six home runs in 5 games. Since that point, so not including that point, the day after that 5-game stretch where he hit 6 home runs, to now, he has hit .388 with 11 home runs. That's 29 games. .388 with 11 home runs, not counting the 6 home runs in 5 games.
Oh, but Scott, one of those was inside the park.
Oh, excuse me.
That doesn't count.
I can't get him out of my lineup. And I know Chris would be flipping his lid right now, Chris Towers, because he doesn't believe in Yuli. But I will file this under I'll be willing to analyze it after the season ends. Right now, I'm just going to enjoy the ride.
I don't think Yuli believes in Chris Towers.
Yeah, no, I don't think
that out there.
Hey,
breaking news.
Matt Chapman has a 5-game hitting streak, 2 home runs and a double in this 5-game streak. Hit the 19 games before that, .095 batting average, 9 walks, 25 strikeouts. And if you just look at this year to last year, the batted ball data is very similar. Hard hit rate, soft, medium, all that. Ground ball, fly ball. Difference, though, more pop-ups this year, fewer line drives, and that has probably contributed to a BABIP that's about 60 points lower and a batting average that's like 25 points lower. But Chapman, it's not a bad year. It's .255 with 27 homers. Not a lot of RBIs, 67 in 116 games. But he comes into today before the 2-homer game, outside the top 15 at third base, which to me says more about third base and just, you know, a lot of guys are eligible, multiple positions. You don't have to think about just third baseman. I've been mostly satisfied with Chapman, but I understand it's been a little frustrating for fantasy.
What's weird about Chapman is for, like, you look at his batting average compared to his strikeout rate and the home run production being good, and you're like, oh man, he's having bad luck. But his expected batting average is actually lower than that because he's sold out so much for fly balls, and you know, with a big home park, that doesn't help either. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I've been all over the place with my Matt Chapman takes because his performance has been kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
But to what you guys said too, only 84% start rate on CVS compared to 99% owned. And we look at Yuli Gurriel, about at least 10% more starts for Yuli Gurriel right now than Matt Chapman. Maybe this small stint here of picking it up over the last five games is going to be the start of something through the end of the year. But the track record as of recent has been pretty poorish. More news and notes. Robbie Ray with the Diamondbacks. He exited Wednesday due to a lower back spasm. That was from the Diamondbacks. He was lifted after one run in two innings against the Rockies. He's considered day-to-day for right now. Worryometer with Robbie Ray and back spasm injuries. For me, I hear back spasm, I hear Robbie Ray, and I get like an 8. But Scott White, are you as or not as concerned about Robbie Ray and the injury?
I feel like that could go so many different directions. So I'll just take the middle ground of a 5. Like, back spasms sometimes lead to IL stents. Sometimes they lead to nothing.
John Duplantier, someone you'd be interested in to pick up if he were to get the call?
I'm not sure where he is in terms of rehabbing his injury and building back up in innings. I was interesting when he was up before.
What about you, the Welsh?
Sure, the top of my
You're
head.
The Diamondbacks fan. First of all,
I'm into John Duplantier.
I did not know that Robbie Ray has a history of back spasms. Is that a fact?
No, he just has a history of not being healthy also not pitching well, especially if you have something like a back spasm in control. That's what I'm worrying about. He's not going to be able to stay long into games, and if this is going to affect his control at all, this could be a massive problem. John Duplantier is a super underrated prospect. He was out here in the AZL about a month ago, maybe a little bit less, as he was starting his rehab. I believe he's in AAA right now. I'd have to look here in a second to see if that's correct. But, you know, he's a solid multi-pitch, 3-4 pitch pitcher on command. He's a smart guy. I interviewed him on Prospect One before. I think he's a future stud, probably a number 3 long-term. So if he came up, he would be someone I would be interested in. For people, if you lost Robbie Ray, I don't know if he can completely fill out the stats, but the Diamondbacks have done good with some of their young pitchers like Alex Young and whatnot. Scott, I wasn't sure if you were a Duplantier fan or not.
No, I was more 2 years ago when he had the lowest ERA, I think, for any minor league pitchers since the Justin Verlander season way back when. And it's been, you know, his stock's kind of fallen since then. It looks like the most he's thrown since recovering from his injury is 4 innings. In a game, and they had to bump somebody right after adding Zach Gallen and Mike Leake to their rotation. I think it wasn't Alex Young. It was the other guy, Clark.
Oh, Taylor Clark. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would just go to him first.
Yeah, and it's definitely a possibility. A couple others here. Logan Morrison. He was called up by Philly in AAA. He was hitting .308 with a .369 OBP, .640 OPS. Between stops with the Yankees and the Phillies. Are we taking flyers on Logan Morrison, Adam Azer?
Nah. Thank you I appreciate you giving me that layup. Makes me look like a good analyst. We are definitely not taking a low-mo flyer, no.
I'm just checking. I just got to check the waters here. All right, so then we can move on from that one. Ivan Nova said he's been locating better, by the way,
yes.
Adam. I mean,
no,
you were so dismissive.
I'm still dismissive because he even said, like, it's the same pitch sequence. He basically said, like, everything's the same. He's just locating better, which to me is just confirmation that you do not have to pay any attention to Ivan Nova.
I'm sure he is locating better, but he won't keep locating better. That's not...
Right,
like,
exactly.
Pitchers don't have their peak accuracy. You know, they don't sustain it for that long. And when he loses it, it's going to get a pounding.
Yeah.
It's going to be awful. It's
going to be feels very Ubaldo Jimenez. Like he's running through and then it's just going to get absolutely brutal. Just a couple last ones here. Brad Beacock is going to turn as a relief pitcher. Jake Arrieta's season likely is over. probably going to be having elbow surgery. Zach Eflin is going to start on Saturday. Yoan Moncada, or as I say, Yoan Moncada now, was set to begin a rehab assignment on Wednesday. Pablo Sandoval is on the IL. Alec Dickerson is off the IL. And Dickerson is hitting .382 in 32 games. Pretty solid there. David Peralta did not start due to a stiff neck. Keep that in mind there. That's a good Josh Rojas. Even though Josh Rojas actually didn't play on Wednesday, keep monitoring him. And San Francisco is considering moving their outfield walls in to make more room for the bullpen.
Let's do it.
Let's move it in for more homers.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's not the reason. I mean, are they going to move the giant brick wall? Because that
seems expensive.
Yeah, they would probably just build like a wall in front of it, right?
Yeah. Well, let's not talk about building walls. Let's just give them to move the. We'll move the things in and we'll be good to go. All right, let's go to break. I want to hit a bunch of emails. We got a bunch of good emails coming in, and then we still got hitters. We got bullpen, and there are some red hots. So let's hit that break. We'll be right back.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma.
In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads from the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power. The Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder.
Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more.
Toyota, let's go places.
Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. That's where you can send some beautiful emails in to us. Here we go. What do you guys think about this strategy of drafting hitters for the first 12 to 14 rounds and then drafting young starting pitchers with upside the rest of the draft? I also want to go with no closers. This will allow me to have 2 to 3 more starting pitchers than everyone else. What do you think of this strategy? This is from Greg. Scott, what do you think?
Why don't you go to Adam first?
That's a terrible.
I didn't follow that very well.
Terrible strategy. All right, drafting hitters for the first 12 to 14 rounds. And then drafting young starting pitchers with upside the rest of the draft. This is like a foolish thing to do. Like, Chris tried this. I told him it was a bad idea 2 years ago. And he tried it, and it failed miserably. Because what you need is, like, most, if not all, of those guys with upside to hit. And when they don't, you're going to realize you have the worst pitching staff in your league. So this is a terrible idea.
And think about
idea.
This year, too, by the way. Like, that guy's like, all right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Nick Pivetta. Then I'm going to get Jesus Lizardo, Forrest Whitley, win championship.
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
So I mean, I've said this a few times before. Like, regardless of how heavily I pursued starting pitching in my draft, the one thing I have been consistently trying to acquire all season long is useful starting pitching. And by the way, nobody's been giving it up. It's been very difficult to do this. And because everybody's in the same boat. Meanwhile, I mean, think of all the hitters who, like Ketel Marte, recently Bo Bichette. Like, it's such a long list, I don't even know where to begin, of hitters who we didn't have an especially high opinion of coming in, and then they've been just absolute studs.
Yeah, like, it's bad just, idea. Don't do it, Greg.
That's, you should take the, like, if anything, I might try the opposite approach.
Yep.
Like, just nothing but pitchers for 7 or 8 rounds. And then, I mean, I probably wouldn't really do that, but I think it's a more viable strategy than this.
Longtime listener, and I just wanted to showcase my appreciation for Adam on the Baseball Podcast. I'm sure Chris will do an excellent job, but he might have takes like chocolate bars taste good, or movies well regarded by 99% of the public are also good. And I guess I don't know how I'll get by. That being said, I look forward to listening blah, blah, blah to me. We don't need to hear nice things about me. And continue to hear Adam say things like, I think t-shirts are dumb on the football podcast.
I don't remember saying that. T-shirts
Are t-shirts?
Dumb? I love t-shirts. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. It's a Lambda
what
Lambda
t-shirt
Lambda t-shirt. Lambda Tri-Lambs.
Oh, that's pretty solid. That's a pretty good one.
Was it like t-shirt giveaways are dumb?
No, I don't think so. I love
t-shirts. Oh, maybe you hate when they shoot the shirts into the stands. Maybe.
I love when they shoot shirts into the stands. It's like the best part of the game.
I do think it's a little strange how excited people get about free t-shirts, because it's not like a great t-shirt getting in a t-shirt giveaway. It's got like 8 advertisements on the back, and you never really want to wear it outside of the context in which you receive it. It becomes like a nighttime shirt for you.
It's about being special. You were the one. All the other people around you, you get to look at them and be like, you don't have this. I got this. You don't get this. And then you throw it away in the garbage when you're done, because it doesn't matter. That was sincerely a guy who is in 10th place in his 10-team baseball league, but still truly loves listening to you guys. Wes, very good. What's up, Sam, Norm, Cliff, and Woody? Oh, that's Cheers. I know that one. Mm-hmm. I actually knew one.
Good job.
15. Yeah, look at me. 15 keeper Dynasty Roto. I get Blake Snell and Oscar Mercado. I give up Javier Baez. What do you think? That is from Blaine in Charlotte, North Carolina. Scott, what do you think? Give up Javier Baez for a pitcher and a young hitter.
I mean, I'm at the point right now where I would, if I can make a trade that gets my hands on one of the 15 to 20 pitchers I think has a reasonable chance of putting up ace numbers, I do it. I mean, there might be like for a first round caliber hitter, I don't do that. I don't think Baez is a first round caliber hitter. I think he's more like a fourth round caliber hitter. I would make this trade.
You'd give up Javi Baez for Snell and Mercado.
I mean, Mercado's just a throw in, but I'd probably do it just for Snell.
Oh, you wouldn't do it, the Welsh?
No, I mean, I'm more likely than anything, especially in a dynasty, I'm going hitter over pitcher. I love Blake Snell, but Javier Baez, regardless of any downturn we want to look at him, he's not I don't think he's a roto liability. You know, he's still hitting, I think, 288 right now. So I don't see him as a roto liability. I still see his production up. I'm always going to go hitter over pitcher, unless this was a points league, which he did. I mean, he said it's roto.
I just feel like that used to be the standard. But like, and I, Chris Towers and I, we've been having this fight for, I think, 3 years now, because I was so adamantly hitter over pitcher for, you know, when I first started in this industry, and it worked out great. But it's become like, back then you could make the argument, oh, how much safer are hitters? How much more reliable are hitters? And that's still true, but it's become a major scarcity issue in terms of having a really good starting pitcher. They're just so hard to come by when, back just a few years ago, they weren't so much. They would emerge, you know, kind of the volatility kind of worked in favor of pitchers as well as working against them in the early rounds.
Yeah, but in a dynasty league, are you willing to give up a good young hitter for a guy like Blake Snell, who has
now literally
been
hurt right
yeah,
now.
He's now been hurt 2 years in a row.
No, I am.
I would rather have Snell too. I would do it, for the record.
Okay.
Well,
okay,
for the record. Like I said, not Welsh just for dumb. Any hitter. Like, I'm not doing this for Bregman or, you know, Nolan Arenado, but for Baez, yeah. I think he's a lower, you know, he's not as good as those guys.
He's a lower tier. He's out of the tier of those type of players you're talking about. That makes sense. And I mean, I do think that's a pretty tough one. If Blake Snell wasn't hurt, I think it makes it a little bit more difficult, but you throw in multiple years of that. You also throw in, look at the volatility of pitching. And I mean, you know, if you keep a whole bunch, it's a little bit different here, but I'm going to go Baez, but we got two for the pitcher. Hey, Scam, Skrisk, Shardom, and Ghost of Keith. You got me.
Good. Okay.
You guys know that
Wait a sec. Yes. Scam is Scott and Adam. Skrisk is Scott and Chris. Kratom, which you pronounce Shardom, which is very different if you've ever seen Along Came Polly. Kratom is Chris and Adam, and then the Ghost of Keith, because Heath is never on the show and people like to call him Keith.
I like that one. This is from Ewan. What's going on with Aaron Judge? He's batting .273. He's got an over 400 OBP since the All-Star break with 6 doubles and 3 homers. What's his value for 2020, Adam?
What's going on with Aaron Judge? He's just in a slump. He's going to come out of it. He's still hitting the ball really hard. Has the highest exit velocity in baseball. He'll be fine. When he comes out of it, it'll be epic. His value for 2020, to me, he's a borderline first-round pick in an OBP league. He's a second-round pick. Otherwise, I can understand downgrading him because of his injuries each of the last 2 years. But OBP, I expect to be over 400, and he should lead the league, or he should come close to leading the league in home runs, RBIs, and runs.
Do you concur, Mr. Scott White?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I I will probably be the guy who downgrades him because of injury history and just because I don't. I feel like there are enough great hitters that there's no reason not to downgrade him for that. Like, you're not getting a huge advantage by taking the relative risk of Judge over, I don't know, somebody like Charlie Blackmon, let's say. So I probably will downgrade it based on that. But in terms of, are the skills still there? I think they are.
All right. Tom says, what should I do with Joey Lucchesi? 10-team head-to-head points league wins, not quality starts. I know he's not a keeper and barely pitches to earn a win, but starting pitching is scarce on the waiver wire. Should I stay the course with Joey or roll with one of these guys? His best available are Sergio Romo, Ryan Pressly, Mitch Keller, Will Harris, or Joe Kelly. So do we stick with Joey or do we go with a guy like a Mitch Keller and Sergio Romo seem like the likely options there. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I would go with, like, if we're just going starting pitcher to starting pitcher, I would take the chance on Mitch Keller over the decidedly underwhelming but not terrible Joey Lucchesi. And just in the hope that Mitch Keller emerges as something more than that. But if I wanted to go another route, I think Pressly is a good ratio option. You know, Sergio Romo, if he becomes a viable save source again, then maybe he enters that discussion. But I think Pressly would be my second choice after Keller.
Adam, you pick up anybody not Keller here no. For Lucchesi or keep Lucchesi?
No, there's no point in owning non-closers in points leagues. Romo,
oh, is it a points league? Sorry.
Yeah, it's a points league. Romo, he got a save two nights ago, and then tonight or Wednesday night, he struggled, I think, at the eighth inning. So I don't think he's the closer there. But no, I agree with Scott. I'd go with Keller.
This last one, this is an inside job. I know who this person is. This is a ITL-CBS crossover from some guy, Kevin. And that's an ITL joke because we had three people email us straight in a row that were Kevin. So we're like, hey, everybody's Kevin. And now all we get is every single person emailing us saying they are Kevin. So that's what this is. Dear former Cincinnati Reds pitcher, Dean Wolf and Scott with two T's. And yes, I have been confused for Chris Welsh, the Cincinnati Reds pitcher, before. I have stories about it. It's ridiculous. I look nothing like him. He's handsome and has money. Can we introduce Chris to Heath's best fantasy baseball team name, Yasmani Money Tomas Problems? I'd like to know his opinion and why does he want to get it tattooed across his chest? What is happening here?
Yeah, that's Heath's money. Heath's his team name, rather, in the podcast points league. Yamani Money Tomas Problems. It's like more money, more problems.
Worst.
It's the worst.
Like,
I mean, it's the best with the worst player. It's an incredible name, but just a horrific player to pick.
It's a terrible name. Yamani Money Tomas Problems. It's
forcing
awful.
A name that clearly doesn't work into. I mean, it just doesn't work.
I got to admit, guys, I think it's doing its job right now. You guys are both very heated up. I think he's doing his job very, very well. All right. Those
he
were
is an expert troll.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
He is. It's like a Inception.
Yeah.
He left a little something all in our brains. Heath and the ghost of Keith. All right. That was good stuff there. Email in fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And we can answer all of those fun questions, but I am not the Reds Chris Welsh. Just remember that. A few hitters get your takes on. Luis Urias was 1-for-2 with a double, 3 RBIs, and a walk against Tampa Bay. Danny Santana, 2-for-5 with a homer, a double, 3 RBIs, 3 runs, and a strikeout at Toronto after doubling twice on Tuesday. You've got Elvis Andrus, who was 4-for-5 with 2 RBIs. I thought this was really interesting. 91% owned, but only 76% start was on CBS. Only 3 hits in his previous 6 games. You've got Yastrzemski.
Yep.
That was my center hit percentage moment right there. 1-for-3 with a homer and 3 RBIs against Oakland. And Renato Nunez, 61% owned, 5-for-5 on Wednesday. He had a homer on Tuesday, which makes 6 hits in his last 2, but he's only had 4 total hits in the rest of August. But he's had a very, very quiet, massive power campaign. So of those hitters, Urias, Danny Santana, Andrus, Yastrzemski, and Nunez, Adam, where's your excitement going? If there's
excitement. I mean, I guess it'd be Santana, but you can't pick him up anymore. So in terms of the ownership and start percentage, at this point in the year, You never know how many people are starting Andrews, but their season's over and they're not checking their lineup anymore. I benched Elvis Andrews, though, in a 14-team points league. He's just not very good in points leagues. He did have a huge game today, but I benched him for Bo Bichette, which was obviously an easy call. Still worth using in a roto league because he's running. I'm intrigued by Luis Urias because the plate discipline has been so good. Before going 1-for-2 with a double and 3 RBIs today and a walk, he had been batting 300 in his last 14 games, but with 8 walks. And, like, there's not much other than the walks. It's a little bit reminiscent of Kevin Biggio, but at least there's something there for Luis Urias. So, on my radar. And, again, if you lost Tatis, if you lost Jeff McNeil, especially if you're in a points league and the walks count, Luis Urias might not be the worst guy to look at.
Scott, what do you think? Is someone like Andrus, who did just have a nice night, but you know has been a little off and on, would you drop him for a guy like Urias, who's in a good situation?
I wouldn't do that. By the way, I'm just saying it's kind of separate thoughts. Like Andrus is on the way down a little bit. Urias is on the way up, but they haven't quite met. I'd still like Andrus better.
Yeah, and do you agree, Scott? Are you in that same realm?
Yeah, I mean, based on how productive Andrus was for the first 3 months of the year. I would be reluctant to drop him. I think it is more of a sit situation, which is why you see that gap between start percentage and ownership percentage. And I don't think Urias, I mean, he's gotten more hits lately. 3 of them have been for extra bases. And I think he still has a long way to go to being a viable option of fantasy. Not saying he can't get there. Obviously, there's a good pedigree. He did some positive things in the minors, especially this year. I kind of feel like Urias really needs to kick it into gear here if he's going to hold off Ty France, who's been basically Ty Cobb in terms of, you know, like batting 400 at AAA this year, but with tons of power. Has been playing second base all of a sudden down there. So I think the Padres have other guys they can explore there if Urias doesn't sustain this hot hitting.
Well, and it also could be Urias going to shortstop, which he did in spring training. I was out at the camps and he was doing that. Ian Kinsler was exclusively at second. Maybe they actually just want to replace the production of Urias at second and have Ty France go into second, and Urias is still a shortstop. Something just to be on the lookout for. Padres like to mess with that stuff. Over to the bullpen. This one is not necessarily a closer one, but I want to mention it since we talked about Nathan Eovaldi potentially going back in the rotation. On Wednesday, he came in the 6th. He went 2, and he got the win. He struck out 2, 1 hit. Workman ended up coming in the 9th, but it was not a save situation. I know we weren't excited about Nathan Eovaldi, and I don't really imagine this changed necessarily too much, but it is nice to see a couple clean innings. He was able to walk away with a win, Adam, but Eovaldi is still just pure speculation or deep league stuff.
He's going to join the rotation, and yeah, exactly. Speculation, deep leagues. I'm not picking up Eovaldi anywhere.
Some other closers, Matt Albers, he got a 2-out save. Josh Hader hit through just 6 pitches on Tuesday. Albers went 2/3, and he walked 3 and struck out none, which is awesome.
He has the Brewers' awesome last 3 saves.
Yeah, it's getting stuff interesting, Scott. He's a 1% owned, Albers.
Well, yeah. And Jeremy Jeffress, he also was the first to come in to replace Gio Gonzalez, which I thought was kind of interesting. I always kind of thought there would be someone they might want to go back on, but he was the first replacement. And this was like in the third somewhere in there. So monitor that. Other notes, Sergio Romo blew a save from Minnesota. He struggled in the 8th. Archie Bradley blew a save, giving up a 2-run homer to Nolan Arenado. Shout out to you, Azer. I know you need Arenado to be doing some work.
That was big. Bauer crushed me in that league, so Arenado had his back.
Emilio Pagan got a save at San Diego on Tuesday. Jose Alvarado, why don't you close any games? Because he struggles in the 8th. He struggles, Scott. He's desperado. He struggles. Jose Leclerc, non-save. 1 inning, 3 strikeouts. 4 straight games without giving up a run, by the way. 2 saves in that time. And Scott Oberg, he did the old binary code of 1-1-1-1-1-1 in a tie game in the 9th against Arizona. He had not pitched in 5 days, but previous he had been, 1-4 earned runs, 2 strikeouts at San Diego. So any save or closer notes that I just mentioned that you guys want to jump on?
If we think Pagan versus Alvarado might be a committee, like I said yesterday, Alvarado's going to have to prove it, and he didn't. So Pagan right now, you know, is the front runner for saves. Not saying that's going to stay that way, but he's the front runner for saves for a team that's playing great. Oberg, I don't think they can replace him. It's two bad outings in a row, but he's the best guy in their bullpen. And Matt Albers is, I don't think he's that good of a pitcher, but I still kind of feel, Scott, like the Brewers want someone to be their closer. And Hader to get like an occasional save, but not necessarily. And Hader hasn't been amazing this year. He's given up a ton of homers. So Albers is interesting.
I mean, mostly recently, but yeah, I think it's just a coincidence that they're phasing him out of the closer role while he's struggling, rather than that being the impetus for it. Because it's not like they have reliable choices otherwise. Albers included. I mean, Albers is scraping the bottom of the barrel for saves, I feel like, if you're taking a flyer on him. And most people don't have to go quite deep. I mean, quite that deep. Mark Melanson with the save yesterday, I'd go for him over Albers.
Would you rather have Joe Jimenez or Matt Albers?
I'd go with Jimenez.
But Jimenez is like a terrible pitcher. He's been so bad this year.
Yeah, I mean, the ERA is bad. He's been much better recently, and he's has a good strikeout rate. There's really nothing I look at with Albers and say this guy's going to be.
Yeah, I know.
This guy deserves to be getting save chances. So, I would definitely take Jimenez there. Albers, I think if we're calling him the Brewers closer, which is probably premature, but if we are, he might be the very last ranked closer for me.
No, because there's got to be, unless you consider the Orioles.
I think Ian Kennedy over him.
Unless you consider
the
Orioles to not have a closer, then you could make that case. Otherwise.
Yeah, they don't.
Do they need one? Do they even need one at this point?
Can I tell you something? They are so bad that I have not, like, the Yankees just played them three games. The Yankees, I think, won 16 in a row this year against the Orioles. I have not been even a little bit excited to watch these Yankees games, and that's a shame. Like, these games are huge. It's August. The Orioles are so bad that I don't even want to watch the games. And what's even worse about the Orioles is that the Tigers are somehow worse than the Orioles. Like, that's amazing. People think the Orioles are the worst team in baseball. I am pretty sure it's still the Detroit Tigers.
By the way, as we get out of here, Aristides Aquino hit his 9th home run. I tried to call an over again. I did it over on ITL, and I was all happy about it. I'm like, oh, hey, look, Aristides, he's finally coming down. I was texting with my buddy James Anderson at RotoWire. I'm like, hey, look, Aristides, he's going to start failing. We're like, yeah. He's just the best thing ever. He's just a prospect we don't know how to handle, but guess what? All he does is mash balls. He's red hot, 9th home run. Keep that eye on him. Find this wonderful crew on Twitter at CBS, Scott White and Adam Azer. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That is the show. Love y'all. We are out of here. Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll see you tomorrow.